Hey, this is the Bachelor Masters, the non-corporate podcast playing through your favorite corporate podcast app. Usually we tangent for a little while and then talk about the show and then tangent again. But there's so much content, EZR. It takes up a full page. We're going to have to talk about the show the entire time.
Yeah. I'm excited.
I know just from us chatting beforehand that we already have one argument queued up. So I'm really curious to see how the other ones queue up. I grouped them into, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 sections and then a fashion roundup. Because there's lots going on with fashion. Am I right, Caitlin?
There's a lot going on. And I definitely want to talk about the drawn-on butts of bathing suits.
Yes. Yes. That is so weird. They like literally photoshopped these flat yellow suit bottoms on people.
It's so badly done. It makes their butts look so weird.
Yeah. But it's... Well, I guess we'll get to the fashion, but they used to blur them? They did used to do something else, right?
Yeah, I think I'd seen blurring. Maybe it was in Paradise or something even that they were doing blurring. But they decided to just like draw on the bathing suit bottoms this time around. But
and I'm wondering like, where the
MS
line
Paint
is.
Or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Is there some person whose job it is to decide when it gets when it gets blurred or not?
Yeah, where's the line? Because these girls are not wearing thongs. They're wearing is there like an
They're just
angle?
Like showing a little bit of cheek.
Yeah, is it a acute angle and then it gets to a right, like the right angle is it, like I wonder what the MPA, well, it's not the MPA, but like where is there they must know a lot about geometry. Like, I'm wondering where the line is.
Yeah, this is, like, fascinating to me in terms of, like, I'm also watching Love Island, and they just show full-on butts on Love Island. They don't blur anything. They don't draw things on. It's just like, whatever is shown will be shown.
Yeah, and they're wearing way skimpier stuff than anything
here.
Yeah. Well, we'll get to that and many other things. I do have a surprise for you two and our listeners, which is I know somebody who went to last night's taping of the Bachelor spinoff show and soon-to-be hit reality TV show, Bachelor : Song of Love. Is that right?
No, Follow Your Heart. No,
Sing Your Heart. Come on. How do we not know this? What is
Bachelor
it?
Bachelor : Masked Singer.
Yes, that's exactly what it is. It's a song of your heart, right?
Listen to your heart.
Listen to your heart. Listen to your heart, that's it?
Yes.
Now, you were going to go, but you decided against it. There was a taping of the show in downtown LA.
It said... Be prepared to stand for 5 hours. Fuck that. Sorry. But well, I was like, no. Because the other one, so they canceled one in this little tiny bar that it's not that tiny, but it's a small venue for something like this that would have had seats. And then they kept one that was a standing room only area. And that sounded horrible. So I was like, I'm not going to go.
Well, that's strange. Well, my source, his name is Jacob. He went last night and they got seats. It's in a theater. He got seats right up front.
They said standing. Dang it. I would have gone. Oh, anyway.
Well, they might have standed. I don't know. But still, I mean, do you want to know the scoopy details now or should we talk about that later?
I just want to know the format. Don't tell us anything about the like who wins or anything.
Well, I don't know that, but I can tell you the format. It's actually pretty cool. I got to admit. It's cool. So it's American Idol. There's, X number of shows, 10 or whatever. And they start with lots of people at the beginning and then they whittle it down until the end when there's a winner. But the thing is, it's not like, say, women singing to catch the attention of a single bachelor or vice versa. It's couples singing as a team in an American Idol format. And you get judged on A, your singing, and B, how much your love comes through via the singing. You catch my drift?
Yeah, it sounds horrible. So and I love duets.
Duets, exactly. The judges would be like, well, you sang okay, but, you didn't show your affection towards each other or something like that.
What?
That's the show.
Okay. I saw Ike and Tina Turner had great chemistry. That doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, yeah, or Cher and Sonny or whatever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's the show. And the judges were Rachel from, you know, The Bachelorette and her guy that won.
Brian.
Rachel Lindsay. And is it Brian?
I think so.
And then Toni Braxton.
Wow.
Huh.
That's big time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and then Chris Harrison was there, and my source, Jacob, he said that Chris Harrison, you could tell, was kind of tired of the process, because he would be, like, all amped up for his lines, and then as soon as his lines were over, he'd just, like, go to the side and tune out. The taping, it wasn't like when we went to the taping of The Proposal, EZR, which was on Warner Brothers Live, and it was produced very much like a TV show.
Yeah,
it was, you know, they stopped a lot, they redid things a lot. Jacob was saying this was pretty close to live.
What about, I mean, so he saw when a lot, at that point, a lot of other couples have been eliminated?
There was only five couples when he went last night.
Okay, so the last showing will be like the last two.
Two or three even, or whatever.
Well, that is kind of dumb because... you're how are you gonna the whole point of American Idol is you're rooting along because you're like, yeah, that person made it into the right. You know, so all right.
Yeah, I don't know,
it's another time filler, fine.
Yeah, it's and like The Proposal, I'm sure they're gonna show it in the third hour after The Bachelorette, right? That's what The Proposal was.
Is there anything else you wanted to tell us about it, or Caitlin, even
Well, I was surprised, I guess I was most surprised that they ran it like almost like a live show, as opposed to constantly stopping and redoing the same thing like when we went to The Proposal.
All the things that make all those other shows we're talking about successful are not in this show. Like, right. You need to follow the, if you haven't seen the couple since the beginning on sitting at, you know, if you're the audience, why do you care?
Invested. Yeah, exactly.
If they're already a couple, why do you care? If, well, you know, like,
singing is big right now, you know, singing and dancing. So people like to watch that. Right?
It's a big
never
trend
been before.
Lately.
Yeah.
There was a long period of time when there was no singing and dancing on television. Thank you very much.
In Footloose World.
The only singing and dancing that was on television was on Full House when Jesse and the Rippers.
What are you talking about? What do you know?
It wasn't until American Idol came back around that suddenly there was this explosion. And then Dancing with the Stars, and then that musical, Glee. Those were the shows that brought back singing and dancing to primetime television.
I don't know.
High School Musical?
I don't have a TV guide from 1993 in front of me, but I'm sure there was some show that was
Star Search, but that was barely...
Yeah, there's Soul Train, there was the Groove, what was the grind?
Soul Train was on like on some obscure hour on a Saturday morning, unfortunately. I love Soul Train.
Remember the grind on MTV where everyone would just dance? Was that the grind?
Yeah, but it's not like ballroom dancing like it is now.
Yes, it was. Caitlin, can we explain to you the premise of this thing show called The Grind on MTV?
Yeah, I've never heard of this.
Okay. They would play hit songs of the time. Okay, correct me if I'm wrong. In fact, we should look it up. Hit songs, and they just show close-ups like from below of people dancing by a pool. So they were in not in bikinis, but in like right before you go in the pool wear. And that was it for a half hour.
Yeah. That's essentially what MTV Spring Break was too. You know, it was like they would just show people dancing. And remember the Friends episode where Ross and Monica, you know, their sister and brother, they go to New Year's Rockin' Eve and they dance all crazy. You don't watch Friends, Caitlin?
Not really. Like, I've seen episodes, but I haven't seen all of them.
Well, I'm Gen Y. That was our show. See, Gen X had Breakfast Club. Gen Y had Friends. The millennials had the internet. I think are you a millennial?
I'm a millennial.
See, that's why you don't watch Friends. There it is. Well, anyway, they do New York's Rockin' Eve.
The grind was just on, was like sometimes by the pool and sometimes not, but that's how I remember it. But it was a dance music show broadcast on MTV, featured, and it replaced Club MTV, which I'd never heard of, people dancing to music tracks in a studio linked by various hosts. Okay. So, yeah, I don't remember that But there was always music. My point is, there was always music and dancing on TV, Craig. I don't know what you're
talking about. But there wasn't, like, it's higher culture now, dancing and singing.
I don't think anyone would say, like, Dancing with the Stars is higher culture.
Well, they practice and they ballroom dance. That's something that did not exist before that show came back around. Okay, whatever. Let's get going to the show. I'm not going to win this. I'm admitting defeat. We need to set some guidelines here, though, because we want to make... We're recording later in the week. We waited until both episodes were done. Other podcasts have been out. So we got to make sure we don't, like, retread what our listeners already know. So, for instance, Sydney being a total liar who fabricated everything about her having to eat lunch in the bathroom for her senior year. Someone who went to her school has the yearbook of her being on the homecoming court. So,
yeah, but okay. Okay, we can get into this now, but I don't think those things are mutually exclusive. You can have bad days where you run and hide and you can be popular.
She wasn't popular. She was bullied and she ate lunch.
She could have been bullied. Like, I'd like to hear what she has to say about being called out. Maybe she could. She is, by everything she's doing, everything else she's doing, she does seem like a rude, mean girl, right? She had exactly what Tammy said. She had a whole posse behind her, and she yelled at people, and she decides who comes and who goes. I don't know that her story isn't true, though.
Mm. I think both are possible to be true. Like, my take on it was that I assume she was racially bullied, but that she also may have been exaggerating, like, the eating lunch every day in the bathroom thing. Like, that could have been an exaggeration.
Yeah, she could have done it a few times.
She definitely does seem like a mean girl.
Yeah.
But aren't the mean girls the one that bully, not get bullied?
This like, real life is like, complicated.
They're not, like, exclusive. Yeah. Like,
I see.
Especially given, I would tend to think, like, growing up mixed race in Alabama, that, like, there's no way she didn't experience some sort of discrimination.
Mm-hmm.
And it's totally possible she could have been, like, a popular pretty girl in high school who also heard mean comments.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that leads to my zinger, which you may not know, which is she went to the same high school as...
Hannah Brown.
Yep.
Yeah.
It was all over the internet, Craig.
Oh, see, that's what I'm talking about. Our listeners could just be turning off our podcast because, like, oh, I already know all this. They're just going to tell me what I already know for the next hour. How do we frame this in a bachelor master's kind of way so we get to sort of...
We got plenty to talk about. Those are just things that are...
Yeah, how do we get... Okay, well, so launch.
Okay.
Well, are we going to stick to a plan, though? Like, are we going to go through this piece by piece? Tammy's who, like, I really have a lot lined up for.
Okay, I have it separated in batches, not chronological at all. So I'm ready to go in. And if you want, I can guide our little batches through, because I think we're going to get to everything. I didn't skip anything.
And Caitlin, have a list?
Caitlin, how are you organized?
Yeah.
I have a list. It's very loose. I definitely wanted to talk about the Kelly and Peter date on Monday.
Yes.
And also, I looked this up. You should not drink while you're on Adderall, and that might explain a lot of things.
Oh, yeah. So this is, I think, the first time in Bachelor history that they've openly admitted Adderall use, and I think pretty much everyone's on Adderall. Now, the thing is, I don't hold that against them, because according to the book, Bachelor Nation, they're up really long hours. They sit around. I imagine it's a little bit like ice skating, Caitlin. You were an ice skater. There's a lot of sitting around waiting to go on, and then you have to, like, get up and really amped up for, like, a 2-minute performance, right?
Yeah,
now, I'm not
though,
saying you would take Adderall.
Nobody but... I know was... Yeah, I was going to say, like, back in those days, I don't even know where you would have gotten Adderall. It's like...
There was a difference.
You know, they sit around, Ritalin, lying around all day, and then they have to, like, jump up and be active and drink alcohol. So I don't... And Adderall's not meth. That's Ritalin.
Yeah, I think that there's absolutely nothing wrong with, like... You know what I mean? If she has Adderall, she probably has a prescription for it, which means she has something where she needs to be on Adderall. The only thing I was interested in is, like, when she said that she was on it, I was like, I'm going to Google real quick. because there are lots of medications that, you know, you're not really supposed to drink on, but people definitely still do. Like, thinking, like, I take Ambien because I have insomnia, and it totally says, like, you should never have alcohol while you're taking Ambien. And it was like, yeah, I definitely have done that. Who hasn't?
Right.
So I feel like there's definitely an interaction there, and that interaction between, like, an upper and a downer might also be causing a lot of her, like, extreme emotional kind of outbursts.
Well, yeah, but isn't Kelsey... didn't we agree that she's unhinged last time, despite any of this, despite like a one-time incident? I mean, I think everyone in the house agrees that she's, everyone at the Bachelor Mansion agrees that she's unhinged.
Well, she's not like Crystal back in the day.
I think unhinged. She is.
She
cried about the champagne gate. That was her for four days.
My opinion, I'll just say my opinion of her got a little bit better this week.
Oh my God. He had to walk her back from like unhinged land. Like, what would she do?
Okay, well, here's the thing though. Now, we talked about this a little bit last week, and this seems to be a common, what all of Bachelor Nation is agreeing on, the podcast, the Twitter. You said this exact quote last week, EZR, which is, Peter thinks that confrontation and conflict is the way that you advance a relationship. Right? That's what you said.
I was talking about Victoria F, that's what she thinks, and that Peter is going along with it.
No, see, I think it's Peter. If a woman isn't, like, having some sort of meltdown in front of him, he creates the meltdown by attacking them about whether they're there for the right reasons. He did it twice this week.
I don't disagree. I think there's a little bit of nuance there, though. I think he has, like, broken wing syndrome. Like, he has this, like...
Yeah.
Need to fix women and make sure they're okay, and women.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't do that with all the men with Hannah who were breaking down around him.
I mean,
he did not try to fix them.
Yeah. He was not having like soulful conversations with them. But I think like it's not like a hurdle thing, because with Kelsey, it seems like he likes it. She likes him a lot.
I'll just transform that slightly. He likes that she's showing that she likes him a lot via extreme emotions. I mean, he needs that immediate validation. And to him, that validation comes through unhinged emotional outbursts. And I'm not trying to be funny. I kind of was like that when I was young. I really related when you said that last week. Conflict is the way to love, because I watched a lot of sitcoms when I was growing up, and I'm not kidding around about that either. I grew up with 30-minute sitcoms, and that was how love happened, is they would fight and conflict, and then they'd have love at the end. And I totally see it in Peter. And then when Kelly and was it Victoria F? I know.
Yeah, when they're both kind of like, going through. He has to pull them to like.
Yeah, and he's sitting there like giving them a multiple choice quiz, like, are you here for the right reasons? Yes or no? Like, what? And it was kind of pathetic to watch, which is not a word I use lightly.
I thought Hannah Ann did it too, right? She went off. Remember that Hannah Ann Peter date where she was you know, I've never been in love, and then he walks off. Right. And she comes up to him and like forces and herself to cry. Like it looks like she pushed a tear out.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh my God.
I was looking for a tear.
She's smart enough to know that that's what he was looking for. It was a good read. To use the parlance of the Bachelor Zone podcast, which is like, you know, football analogy podcast.
Yeah. Hail Mary.
She called an audible.
Oh, you know? I was saying it was like a Hail Mary, because he was like, well, you know, she's not crying over me. And she's like, I know.
Yeah, he went up to the line of scrimmage. Yeah. She went up to the line of scrimmage, saw that the defense was one way, and she called an audible and they ran up in the play.
So it's so easy to manipulate him. All you have to do is pretend you're crying.
Right. So we're in agreement then about...
You don't even have to be that good at pretending you're crying, honestly.
Right. Yeah. And Victoria F. is a good example of it, except that she is not a good actress, and she seems like she actively doesn't like him at all.
Right.
She's just trying to disguise that disgust with tears and like, I don't even know why I feel this way. And so the incredible balance she's doing of like a manufactured crisis versus her trying to act like like covering up how she doesn't like him with like the conflict is so convoluted. And
yeah, it was the same thing on her first one-on-one date as it was on the second, right? That like everything seemed like it was going well, and then all of a sudden she like freaks out about something that does not seem at all obvious to the audience, and this is somehow like Peter is somehow into it, I guess.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So I think we're all saying the same thing.
Yeah, but when it comes to Kelly, I do kind of want to, I guess we can do that now.
You mean Kelsey?
No, Kelly.
Well, okay. Well, I just want to complete this thought, though, because when we started this, you disagreed with me that it was Peter that needs, I mean, I quoted you, and then you were like, well, not really.
No, so, I was saying there's just a little bit more nuance than that. Like, I think that he has a need to fix people. I don't think he believes that you need to go through a crisis to love someone. I think that just proves to him that these people care about him. He's not going through the crisis. If you look, he's never crying. He's never upset. He's not like, we made it together, you know, girl. He's kind of more like, oh, you look so sad. Yay. You love me. Good. Let's keep going. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think it makes sense. I do stand by what I said last week, which is he clearly has never had a woman break up with him and like tell it like it is. This is why you suck, because he still lives in La La Land where relationships work on some like perfect plane. And you can see his mind grinding when things don't go along a straight trajectory.
Yeah, I think that's a perfect segue into the Kelly date, honestly.
Okay, good.
Right.
I had so many feelings during this. Like, first of all, I think probably Kelly is my favorite woman in the house right now. The house. I guess they're traveling to many different houses.
No.
But, but that, like, how angry he was that she, like, called him on anything and wasn't like, oh, I'm the one who's wrong. I'm the one who's sad and needs to be fixed. Like, she was like, oh, you're rewarding this drama and that's a problem. He was so pissed off, and it just felt like this whole other side that I hadn't really seen in him until then.
Yeah. Whoa. Well.
Totally. Well, actually, I have a question for you, Caitlin. Sorry, EZR.
Go ahead.
I don't want to be nosy. I guess in some level, it's none of our business, but like with Kelly, and so she was the couple months before the show hotel woman, right?
Yeah.
The Rose Pricks, and you can never tell if they're really kidding or not, but they are convinced that they had sex that night, a one-night stand. She tells it like, we just met in the lobby and that was it. I think it's somewhere in the middle. I think they hung out, maybe they went dancing at the wedding and maybe, you know, shared a kiss or make out, and then that was it. Because some things they say, it's like, yeah, they just said hi. But some things they say in this week are, no, they really hooked up because our chemistry was so strong at the beginning, and we have this whole like pre-story. And I mean, they're saying things that you kind of say when you've hooked up. And I think that informs a lot of what we see, because she said something, it was the only weird thing I thought she says. She was like, I'm really mature for my age. That's okay. That's not for you to judge, but she said that. And it was kind of like a girlfriend telling her boyfriend to like man up or something. And that would only really make sense if they had some sort of...
What?
What?
People don't... People feel confident based on, like sexual intimacy means nothing to these people.
Well, she was acting a little...
mean like, a barrier's been crossed.
If I've had a girlfriend that, you know, thinks I need to act more mature, she'll get into that vibe. And that's a vibe you only get if you are kind of more dating, and they haven't been dating, so it makes me think that they had some sort of night together, or even a weekend together at the hotel.
Right, so she's validated by being on the show and him keeping her on, because it's like, yeah, you were continuing that, whatever we did. What do you think they did then?
Caitlin, what do you think they did?
No, I'm asking you, because you seem very confident, Craig.
I said, I think it's somewhere in the middle.
What does that mean? That's what I'm asking.
I just told you! I said,
no!
I said, I think they danced at the wedding. They hung out for the rest of the night. She became his wedding date or whatever. and then they maybe made out, and then that was that.
Oh, well, that's not somewhere in the middle.
That's sort of in the middle.
That's like
maybe they shared a hotel room, but they didn't have sex.
What does that mean?
Like, she stayed over, but they didn't have sex.
What did they do?
I don't know. Don't ask me. I don't.
This is what bothers me about sitcoms. Because yes. Growing up, I'm like, what did they do? I can't even tell you how many times I've had the thought of, like, what do people, like, not that I don't, like, even still, I'm still, like, super confused by sex. I still don't quite know, like, what is in the middle. Like,
it's like, you have a kid.
I know. That's very I'm like, I just, like, I can't even imagine. I just don't have that kind of, like, I just don't have that kind of thought, imagination.
I can tell you what I like, and I'm a little bit more emo than most guys. I've never been the have sex and want you to leave type. I'm the have sex and want to hang out for the weekend type.
Are you Tylering right now?
I don't know, maybe.
Making sure you forever have...
No, but you hook up, you have sex, and then you wake up in the morning, and I'm like, oh, let's go have breakfast, or, like, hang out for the day. That's always been... something. So, but getting sex out of the way, to me at least, is important because, you know, the sex, I don't like enjoy sexual tension in the sense that if I feel like sex is inevitable anyway, we might as well have sex. Now.
No, okay. You're not answering my question. Like, I really do want to know. I'm not playing a game. I am so curious. I would love to watch a show like Friends with one of you guys and be like, okay, what happened? When they're up and they're like, oh, but they're walking out of a, they're like, they didn't have sex, but they did something. I'm sure I'm not the only one who feels this way. I know what I sound like, but I really, like, there's been tons of times and like innuendos that I'm like, oh my God, what? Yeah. Like, well, what's so weird? Like, why is there so much secrecy?
Well, Beverly Hills 90210 is the master of that because it was like in an era where they still couldn't openly admit they were having sex. But there was a show for teenagers, so like they would do everything leading up to it, like indicating that they were going to. And then you're right, the door would close, and it's like, what? What are they doing? Are they going to go to sleep or something? Well, anyway, this all came about because it's like, I think, again, it's in some level, it's none of our business, but it I think it does inform that talk they had at dinner because they seem close. They seem more than just we've hung out a couple times.
Okay, I guess I'll just never know. Thanks, Craig. Like, I'm gonna actively sound stupid every time and ask like what, and not even pretend like I know. Because here's the thing: I was growing up. And, like, I think adults laughed, like, not my parents, because I wouldn't watch shows like that with my parents. Like, more adultish people would laugh, like 20-year-olds. And I was too shy to ask them. Then I got to be them, and I didn't know. And now I'm old, I'm 30-something, and I'm still don't know. So I'll just live my life.
Right, easier. Yes. So you saw what Peter and Sydney were doing in the hot spring, right?
Oh, yeah. That's right.
So I'm assuming it's that, but just in a hotel room.
Okay. Thank you, Caitlin.
Yeah, they probably had like a nice bathtub.
That was hard to watch.
That was whoa.
Like, didn't you cut her?
They put the bathing suit butts on them, but they show like the softcore porn sequence.
Like, yeah.
He cut her though, right?
Yes. It was, I need an explanation for that, too.
It was sort of out of the blue.
Yeah, like, he must
I was very surprised.
Yeah.
That was such a hard one, because, like, he seems like he's doing things accidentally right. Like, he cut a lot of the drama out on accident. And I was like, well, it's not because it's because he says he's following his heart, but he's actually, like, he cut a lot of toxic people out, which I was... kind of happy for it. And we can get to that.
Like,
I still want to talk about Kelly. Like, who?
Tammy.
No. Go to hell, Craig. Okay, listen.
I'm already in hell, EZR. Thanks.
Okay. I can't believe she's your favorite Caitlin, I'm sorry, but dude, the producers must love her. There's something, like you guys say, there's something going on. She didn't know what a shaman was.
Right.
How is she?
No, that's true.
She's in her daddy's law firm. She said a phrase, and we do this all the time because we're speaking, you know, we're trying to push together two idioms or whatever, but she said, cut it in the butt. There was no caption around it. That's what she said. And she also said vice versa, not vice versa. It really bothered me.
No, yes. But on the other hand, she was excellent playing the abuela in the
That's true. Wait, here's one thing that she said that I was like, did she really, like, can't she come up with something a little bit better than this? So here.
But at the same time, I'm like, just go along with the process. I just love doing like new things and fun things. I definitely know that it'll just be fun. Like, who doesn't have fun when they're doing like cool activities? And yeah, we'll have fun.
Whoa.
This sounds bad, but in all fairness, right now, I think the only people I like on this show are Kelly, Madison, and Natasha. And I hate everyone else, including Peter.
We can move on.
Those are strong words there, Caitlin.
Things got a little better last night, but Monday night's episode, I literally was like, Peter, what are you doing? I mean, I rewatched him walking into the golf cart and hitting his face on the glass multiple times. Because it was legitimately incredibly funny. But
yeah, it was like the Zapruder film. But I was also just like,
you deserve this.
How did he... Okay, so since you watched it multiple times, how did the glass... It really is like the Zapruder film with, you know, Kennedy assassination, the magic bullet. The glass was in his right hand. He hit the golf court roof with his left forehead. And somehow the glass came up. And hit the same area. Cut it. How did
that... The only thing I can think is he was holding the glass like really high when he got on the golf cart. You know what I mean? Like it wasn't. I guess normally you'd hold a glass like maybe around like your chest level or something. He must have been holding it like way up by his head and then really put some force into hitting that golf cart with his head, so it like bounced off so hard.
Yeah, that was very weird.
I know it's in the right place. Like, the cut is in the right place.
So you have a pint glass in your right hand.
Yeah, but if you're holding a cup and you're walking, you want to hold it high so it doesn't spill.
Well, okay, but say you run into something with your left forehead, EZR. What is going to prompt you to take your right hand, which is holding the pint glass, and move it up to the exact spot you hit your head and crush the glass on your forehead?
The way it looked very natural. Like, I did not have a problem.
So did the Kennedy assassination.
Yeah. It was a straight, like, it's just bad. Like, I know I had a friend who, like, sat on their own hand and broke their fingers. So, like, not like someone who is super clumsy, but, you know, weird things happen.
Is this the guy that peed in his own mouth?
No.
Oh.
Quick. Okay. You know, I'm glad you guys are bringing this up because I think a lot of my own neuroses are going to come out this podcast. I hate Band-Aids. They really gross me out, like disgust me. If I look at them like on somebody or on the street, and I wouldn't be able to do anything with Peter with a Band-Aid. Like, it really grosses me out. I hate them, especially flesh-colored ones. Or skin tone or whatever.
So, like, you really hated when Nelly was very popular then.
Oh, right. I forgot about that. But, yeah, I hate them.
He would just wear Band-Aids?
Yeah, he just had, like, a Band-Aid on his face. It was, like, a fashion thing. It wasn't
Everyone was going for some gimmick, like, put this on, you know.
You know, I don't have that neuroses, but I understand it easier. Mm-hmm. The one I have is apparently has a name. It's where you get totally freaked out by circles that are clustered together randomly.
Yeah,
I've heard people talk about that.
I have that so straight. Like, get physically sick when I see circles like that.
What about strawberries? Mm.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. If you see them with those little yellow nobules that are coming out, like a really ripe one.
They're seeds.
Yeah.
Well,
all right, so my weird one is that I can't stand anything related to accidents involving toenails or fingernails. Ew. Where like people like lose a nail or it just it makes me want to die.
Yeah. Oh boy.
Yeah. I one time stepped on a Band-Aid and I threw away those shoes because I couldn't take it. Like, it really grosses me out. It grosses me out like beyond belief. Just any Band-Aids around me.
And Peter's is particularly gross, in my opinion.
Yes.
I don't know what they're doing to it.
Yeah.
Like, I think maybe they're putting makeup over the bandage so it like blends more, but it just makes it stand out more. It makes it look like really weird.
Right. Yes. Yeah.
I mean, okay, maybe he has staples. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Let's say Mark trips and falls and cuts his hand. You know, it's not a bad cut. It doesn't need stitches, but it's bleeding. And so he washes it, still bleeding. He washes it, still bleeding. You put a Band-Aid over it to, you know, to keep the bleeding from pouring out all over. So he puts a Band-Aid on. Does that mean you got to leave the house for the rest of the day?
I just will comment on a Band-Aid for a very long time. I'll be like, oh, they have a Band-Aid on. Don't touch my food.
He's going to put a glove on like Michael Jackson or something.
I
But you'll know it's there.
Everything, Band-Aids are just so gross. Like Band-Aids in a pool, Band-Aids like, you know, little kids and Band-Aids, like, ugh, they're just disgusting to me, especially the ones that they started making that kind of feel like skin. Like the more they advance Band-Aid technology, the more disgusted I am. I've even bought like I still wear like, if I have to wear one, I'll wear like a Dora one or a whatever, like a, you know, a cartoon Grover character, because it grosses me out a little bit less, but it's still disgusting.
Now, this all leading to Kelly still? Are we in Kelly's zone?
We're out, unless anyone has anything to say about her, but I just want to talk about...
Well, Caitlin loves Kelly. You're not so hot on her. I think she's fine.
Well, I just don't think it's fair.
There's slim pickings here.
That's true.
Yeah.
these women could be as bad as Hannah's season of Men.
Back
now that
to
we know
podcast
them.
Up here, I disagree with that.
So you don't think
just based on looks,
seekers?
This is much higher caliber.
No. I'm not talking about looks. I'm talking about fame seekers. I mean, even Shein, beautiful, lovely Shein, totally said the truth, and so did someone else when they left. Tammy.
Was it Tammy? Was it I can't remember. Did Victoria P say anything dramatic on her way out?
Oh, we gotta talk about that. But I mean, Shein is like nice and obviously good man, like good humored and everything as she is. She wouldn't have said anything unless she felt that way. Mm-hmm. So in that way, I totally trust her. Wasn't it Katie Morton on Colton's season that did the same thing basically about Kaylin and Cassie and all of them, like fame chasers?
Yes. And then Colton spent like the next episode being like, who is it about?
Right.
Out yourselves now.
Oh, God. I think that's the least interesting part of the show. It's when they're like pursuing the person not there for the right reasons.
I think if it had been almost anyone else except Shein, I would have been like, yeah, you never know. The person just saying that to like, because they don't like Peter. But obviously, she doesn't have, there's nothing to lose at that point. Mm-hmm. Peter's Spanish sucks. Is that?
Oh, really?
I mean.
I was thinking about this, actually, because I want to hear this from you, Ziar. But does he not know how to pronounce the name Paola? Because when he did that scene with Madison, I wrote an extra scene, and he kept on being like, Paola. And I was like, that's not how you say that name.
I mean, I just think he doesn't speak it with his mom. And so that automatically doesn't let you do it. Like, he's not a natural. I mean, I think you guys can tell. He should be a better speaker. He has a native speaker at home. Like, that's all I'm saying. I don't have any, well, like, I'm not trying to act like anyone's better.
Does Cuba have its own dialect in any way?
Yeah. Yeah, well, but then, he's not doing that.
So you recognize the Cuban dialect?
I think, I'm not saying this as a native Spanish speaker. I'm saying this as a human in this world. He doesn't know how to, like, conjugate. Like, I think any fourth year Spanish speaker is better than he is. Like, in high school.
Well, who are you to judge, then?
I am telling you, he's bad.
I also very much enjoyed the date with Sydney, where he was like, oh, do you speak Spanish? And she said, a little bit. And then he said something in Spanish, and you could tell she literally had no idea what he just said. She was like, I'm just going to kiss him instead of answering anything that he just said.
Yeah, yeah. This is more a commentary on how Americans think they know a second language when they don't. You know, this is about monolingualism more than it is anything else.
Say we went to Napa or Sonoma Valley, and we were drinking wine, and there was someone at the table that was telling us all about wine and how we didn't know wine because we weren't drinking the right labels. What would you call that person?
Oh, you're saying I'm being a snob? I'm making a commentary on Americans who think they're bilingual. That's what I'm saying.
He just said a few phrases. How is that thinking he's bilingual? He never said, oh, I'm fluent in Spanish. He just said a few things.
He plays that up a lot.
No, he doesn't.
Yes, he does.
When? He said like three things.
He goes home and he like dances and sings in Spanish and he like pretends like he's like,
good for him. Like he's trying. He's in South America.
No, not at home. He's not. Oh, my problem is that there is. You know what's egged me onto this is that I'm in a lot of, like, you know, Facebook groups that are kind of like, oh, my God, these people. And when there's this really good one called the monolinguals. Oh, my gosh, can you hear that?
Yeah. Okay.
The monolinguals are at it again. And it's so good because it's like, you know, it's okay to know a language at the level Peter knows it. That's okay.
Okay.
But don't pretend like you're able to, like, don't play more than that.
Which is better? You're in Chile, and that's a whole nother conversation. So when did they all magically teleport to Chile?
Yeah,
we never had a we're going to Chile thing. Anyway, they're all in Chile. Sorry, EZR.
No, and that's not the point. I'm telling you, that's not the point. Are you misunderstanding me from the beginning?
I'm in Chile, which is better for me to say a few things in my broken Spanish or to not speak any Spanish at all?
That's so funny you say that because everyone I know in America who has ever talked to someone they can understand always has to correct them in English. Always.
No. Okay. Well, and you've met one person who doesn't.
Is that true or not? I mean, is that mostly true or not, Craig?
No. Well, I only know me, and that's categorically untrue.
You only know you.
I do not correct anyone on English. In fact, I'm the opposite. I think language is fluid and ever-changing, and I would never correct anyone.
Language being fluid is not this conversation.
The only time I ever get in anyone's face about anything language-wise is around the word irony. Like, you know, people don't know how to use irony correctly, but I do that mostly as a kind of a gag.
How ironic.
Yeah, exactly. That's wrong.
I know. don't tell me I'm wrong.
But I don't correct anyone. I don't know. Okay.
My point is that there is a barrier to be a bilingual, isn't there? There is something that says you are now bilingual. You can know a little bit about every language. Yeah,
that's
that
fair.
Doesn't mean you're bilingual.
If you're going, like, if me and some bros went down to Chile and we only knew a few words and we were trying to, like, say it, that would come across as, like, patronizing or, like, we're trying to make fun of people. I get that.
You also know that when Americans go anywhere, people go out of their way to try to understand them. But if anyone comes here, people go, what did you say? Even though they can try a little harder. Do you know this? Is that true or not?
But they're in Chile.
Yeah, and everyone went out of their way to speak English to them and understand Peter.
But Peter didn't ever present himself as being bilingual. He just said some things in Spanish because they're in Chile.
he's done it a lot.
I don't know, Craig. I mean, a lot of the stuff he says in Spanish, he says to the women who generally do not speak Spanish.
Like he's trying to show off or something?
I think he, like, to a certain extent, right? Like even like with the Sydney stuff where he asked if she spoke Spanish and then like he said something, he was like, oh, you speak a little, and then just started talking about his heart or something in Spanish. And it was like, he was only doing that to be like, yeah, this is romantic. Look right. at me speaking in Spanish.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. I understand that.
It's not a Spanish speaking commentary. It's just a, like what Caitlin said too.
Right. Okay. I'm not going to win this one either.
No, it's not about winning. I just think that there's a deeper conversation here about what is considered bilingualism and what's considered monolingualism, and what when, especially second, third generation, anything, when they think they're really good at something because their parents must have passed it down to them through genes and not through practice.
Yeah.
Like that.
I get that.
There's something there.
Okay. Well, I'll just leave it here. I'm totally on board with what you're saying. I just didn't see that necessarily in this week's shows, although Caitlin took me a little bit closer by saying he was using it to try to like woo the women. Mm. So, mm-hmm. so yeah. Okay. That makes sense. All right.
Okay. Anything else?
Tammy, or are we going?
Tammy. Oh my gosh. You ready? I guess I'm ready. I'm not ready. Yeah, I'm ready.
So you love Tammy. I really don't like Tammy at all. Caitlin, what's your Tammy?
This is hard in that I like her, even though I disagree with some of her, like, her actions, if that makes sense.
So I totally get the, like, I'm going to go on the show and not try to be the villain, but try to be... I don't know. Whatever it is she decided she wanted to be, it just didn't work. She played it incorrectly. Now, Ezra, something sticks with me that you said many Bachelor Masters seasons ago.
Mm-hmm.
You said that if you were on the show as a woman of color, you would be expected to be aggressive. And you know what I mean? It was because Bibiana was like the only Hispanic woman.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. it's like if you went on as a Hispanic woman, you would be expected to be kind of B-wordy. I think you said that.
Yeah. I don't know if I said that, but I can see what you're saying in general. Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, Tammy, I don't know so I'm trying to give her the benefit of the doubt because it's like, I don't know if she feels like that's the role she had to take on, or society has pushed her to that, or, like, amongst these women, she feels like she has to do that. But it just, it crossed from, like, role-playing to actual, like, bad behavior. And I don't like her.
Craig, do you think... So you're talking about, like, feeling like she's taking on a role kind of thing. Do you think that maybe she knew... Because in general, in these shows, like, contestants of color do not make it to the final few, right? That maybe she was like, oh, I'm going to be like funny and dramatic and therefore I'll get attention and like I'll get to be on Paradise and you know what I mean? Like she'll, because she assumed she would never win anyway.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what happened. I think she knew, like they didn't have chemistry right off. Like she knew she wasn't going to make it. So she just decided to, you know, take that on and she just didn't play it right or she took it too far or something. Yeah.
I mean, I think Tammy, I really think that it was all producer drama. But let's go with it. Let's just say Tammy reacted the way she did despite producer drama. Because of.
Yeah.
I mean, it would feel like they would say something, like, you know, because she tried to comfort Kelsey when Kelsey was drinking. And then it just felt like there was a shift that no one saw coming, because all of a sudden she's like, I went down there to comfort her. And then it sounds like one of the producers said to her, why is it always up to you? Why is she always crying? Mm. And then Tammy goes, this isn't fair. Like all of a sudden, you know, there wasn't a clear dialogue. Tammy's very clear. And there was a clear dialogue. And then all of a sudden there was this break and you're like, where did she shift? So it did feel produced.
Okay.
But,
well, what triggered me was when she started accusing Kelsey of having a drinking problem, because to me, that those kinds of things get really complicated very quickly.
Well, it sounds like she said it because Kelsey said things that were rude. Kelsey basically said, I'm the realest one here. You're all fake. And she and Tammy said, wait a minute. How can you be so, you know, you're unhinged. You're over there drinking and like bawling your eyes out. That's very weird. And she's kind of blaming it on the alcohol, because McKenna cries all day long. And no one ever said to her, like, you're on, like, you're crazy, you know, whatever they've been saying to Kelsey.
No, although Victoria F. did make those, like, mean girl comments about it. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't to her face.
It was right, like, and it wasn't, like, a confrontation the way Kelsey had basically three of them, you know, and she kept talking about it and talking about it and making sure it came back up.
Oh, man, that scene where... right after Tammy talks to Peter and says that Kelsey has been drinking so much and like crying all the time and she's maybe having a breakdown. And then Peter talks to Kelsey and Kelsey comes back into the women's group. The way that they shot her just then was like, she literally looked like a crazy villain. Like it was her like stomping into the room being like,
yeah,
who called me emotionally unstable?
Yeah. Like,
yeah.
This is why I think Peter likes people that like him, because he's not seeing how unhinged she is. That's kind of more to my point about, like, it's not quite that he likes crises, but he likes that they like him. But yeah. Okay, so somewhere in there though, Victoria P was the pot stirrer, right? She's the one who said the thing about the pills. And I don't think...
Yes!
Didn't they start...
I'm just very vociferously agreeing yes. with you that she's the pot stirrer.
Wasn't she defending Kelsey when she said that?
No, she's...
No, I don't think she was. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Yeah, I think... So this came out when... I'm trying to remember which conversation this was. I think it was when...
it was like before the rose ceremony.
Yeah.
When there was an all-out fight. Because, well, yes. Let's break this up into two pieces. There was the group date where Tammy said it to Peter. And then when Kelsey came back from talking with Peter and said, who said I was unhinged? And everyone jumped on her and was like, you are unhinged. Like, you're crazy. And then there was before the rose ceremony where she came back with the rose. And everyone's like, this is actually Tammy's fault. And it's like, why the shift? That all that seems very planted. Right? Because everyone was thought, oh, Kelsey, you're like, you are not well. And then the second night, everyone's like, Tammy, you know what? You shouldn't have really done that. And it's like, well, the first night, like, you know, everyone was on the other side. So that's why it feels so dichotomous. Go ahead, Caitlin. Go with Caitlin.
Yeah. I was thinking, so it was during that second when the cocktail party had been canceled because Peter already knew what he was going to do
mm-hmm.
because of his secret extra time with Kelsey, which was also like a wild thing. I was literally laughing out loud when she comes back in with the rose and she says something about it being smooth sailing and everyone's just glaring at her.
Yeah.
But this is so after they've heard the cocktail party was canceled and then Kelsey is saying, you know, the only reason she went to go talk to Peter is because Tammy said these things. And basically she said, like, Tammy said she was an alcoholic and a pill popper. And Tammy says she didn't say the pill popping thing, that she didn't originate that rumor, that Victoria P did. And then Victoria P is like, I did say that, but I don't want any part of this. I'm not at fault here.
Yeah. Right. And if we look back on both, on what we know about both their past, I mean, Kelsey's the one whose dad took off and left her for 15 years. Victoria P is the one who, you know, had her dad died and then her mom went into. And so all these things are the kinds of things that feed into the kind of women they are. And I like these are red flags. And like it's not.
Go ahead.
We were talking about how when Victoria P laid out her story about who she, about. You know, why she is the way she is, all, you know, oh, my dad and my, you know, my mom, like my mom was a drug addict. And I said, well, you know, if unless she's in therapy, that can lead to a very manipulative person. And every single time she's been kind of the cause of the drama with Alaya, with in this case, and she's always kind of like, you know, she'll stab you and then hide her hand, like that idiom says or whatever. She always kind of like injects the poison and then runs away. And then Kelsey,
yeah, and then acts
is,
like she had nothing to do with it.
Right. Yeah. And then Kelsey? Super needy.
No. That Tammy was Victoria does that. P.
No, no.
Victoria
and,
P. Okay.
Yeah. And then Kelsey is like super needy, needs constant validation. And like Caitlin said, like goes to his room. Like, and then when she gets a rose from Peter, she's like, well, it's not good to give me the rose because then all the other girls will find out and do this too. Like, that's her first thought when she gets the rose.
They're
which
meant
I'm
for
sure
each other.
All of them are like, I didn't know we could do that.
Right. That's her first thought is like, oh, I was going to do it too. Oh my God, I can't. I need to be like, you know, she has like a lot of, she needs like to self-soothe herself. So, go ahead.
Well, what about Tammy?
Okay, we'll get to Tammy. So here's the fight, just so we can... Just so we can dissect it a little bit better. So it's going to be Tammy standing up for herself. This I cut out the part that I thought was important to me. So maybe there's something in there that goes, well, this also happened, but let's hear it.
If not, the last thing in my mind to tell him is like, Tammy, because I could not want to talk to you guys ever again. Like, I want to talk to him, you know.
That's Sydney talking.
No, it all goes away.
But you brought up Alaya.
He brought up Alaya. So don't you ever try me one more time, Tammy. I'm so sick of that. If you said that way one more time, I'm going to lose my on you. I never brought
you
up Alaya.
No, shut the up,
you
Tammy.
Shut the up.
I did it. There were people in that group date, and you said there's someone here that wasn't here for the right reasons.
No,
but you didn't think that he was going to ask you?
No, I didn't, Tammy. No, I didn't.
No. I'm just so sick of this. Like, this turned into
such a big... person. Oh, you can go anywhere without your little posse.
Oh my God, are you serious? Tammy, you are so crazy, yo. You're crazy.
Oh my God. Tammy the queen standing up for herself. I rarely say this about anyone, but damn, she is strong. She, all those girls were attacking her and she stood up and just yelled at Sydney for being a bully and for having a clique. And she said, this is what happened. It's happened before. Why are you all picking on me? I just, I could not have felt like, proud isn't the word. Like,
okay,
good for her. I just really liked it.
I understand what you're saying. Uh-huh. But there's a reason they're all yelling at her. It's not like bullying. Isn't bullying more like you're getting picked on for something you can't control? Like your looks or your height or your weight or something. She brought this on herself.
I didn't use the word bullying, but I said all the women around her were like attacking her.
Okay. Well, okay. So they were attacking her, but she gave them plenty of reasons to.
No. How?
She accused Kelsey of being chemically dependent.
She did the same thing Sydney did. She went up to Peter and said, this person did this.
But,
and Alaya didn't even do anything.
But beyond telling Peter, she told Kelsey straight up, like, you're unhinged and you have an alcohol problem. No one wants to hear that.
Because she because she sat with her, and basically Kelsey was just saying, everyone here is fake except me. And that made her mad.
Oh, well, so to me, that's the problem. If you're like Tammy and you're saying those things about someone else, well, chances are the monster in the mirror just might be you.
Because that monster in the mirror, he just might be you. Singing wabba wabba wabba.
Thanks, Grover. You see what I mean? It's like classic projection.
I don't know, like, why Tammy is so set on it. Like I said, it might have a lot of producer prodding to, like, might have to do with it. But the fact, like, few people in the world, when 10 plus people are around them, everyone's attacking them, could stand up. And honestly, it was a battle of opinions. There was no like real right and wrong. I mean, I think Tammy's right. You guys don't, I mean, you know, Craig, you don't think Tammy's right. But to stand up and to get in her face, I thought that was like, that's right. Mm-hmm. That's what you do. because she felt attacked and she didn't cry and back down. And you know what, Craig? Actually, I thought it was interesting that when they had the new Vanguard 2-on-1, because they can't, a Bachelor right. show cannot have a 2-on-1 anymore because it's so outdated.
Right.
I thought it was interesting that your tactic would have backfired here.
You mean the not say anything and blink?
Yeah, McKenna said millennial crap at her. Like, I am a woman and I am strong. And like, sorry, but I don't know how else to phrase it. Like, give me a better phrase for it. Because it was so now. And it was not, well, like, it had nothing to do with anything. It was not actual coherent thoughts.
Oh, yeah, like
the things you buy like at the store, the paintings that have words of affirmation on them.
Yeah, exactly. So, but Tammy should have said, you're a fashion blogger trying to advance your career and appear sympathetic on TV. You cry to cover up anything when you're wrong. But she didn't. She sat there and she blinked. And then Peter said, I heard what you said, McKenna, and she didn't respond. Ergo, you're
right,
correct.
Right. Yeah, and you're right. That would have backfired. That tactic, the Craig tactic backfired.
Yeah, and honestly, Tammy's too smart for Peter. Good for her. Hope she lands on Bachelor in Paradise and walks away with $1 million or whatever. Oh, but leave house flipping forever, please, Tammy.
Well, let's talk about McKenna just for a second.
Uh-huh.
Oh, you know, I knew you were going to want to talk about her.
You're Kenna.
I like my Kenna. She's just the right amount of...
You're
like,
Kenna.
My, that's funny. Yeah, you're Kenna. Okay, here's the thing. I won't dwell on it. I like her. I think she's got a lot going for her. But as Bachelor Wise Guy on Twitter pointed out, she was only 22 when this taped. And it's almost hard to say anything about her after knowing that. It's just not relevant to what we're watching, which is a show about finding love and marriage. When she's clearly not in that zone, and all the things that we think about her are true. You know, she's just in it. It was inappropriate to put her on the show.
Is this about the petition?
Yeah, there was someone wants to put a change.org to require women or men to be 27 to be on the show, or is it 26? Which is a really good idea. Because it's like, here we are going to, you know, we could spend time on McKenna trying to figure her out, but it's like, it's just not worth it because she's in a whole different frame of mind. Her argument with Tammy had a different goal than Tammy's argument with McKenna. And it was almost like McKenna at the end of her was like literally looking for a microphone to say these words of affirmation that she got off coffee mugs to say. And then it didn't matter if she got kicked off or not, right? It's like she just wanted to get on record.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah. I have to say, she was so bad at acting on the telenovela Group Date. But then she was really good at delivering those prepared speeches at the end of the episode.
Yes. Yeah. So that's all I'll say about my cat. I'll leave it there.
Yeah, but you love her.
I wanted to point out that I'm trying to remember how many episodes ago this was where I said some of the women are drawing their lipstick and lip liner way outside of their lip line and it looks bad. I just want to say McKenna did that all this week and I couldn't stop looking at it.
Yeah, I noticed that too.
I never noticed that.
Okay. Who's next?
I have Victoria P up next because, dang. Victoria P. I know you, Craig, dislike Victoria F. And last week I said Victoria P seems a little worse to me.
All of Bachelor Nation dislikes Victoria F because she's a racist, home wrecking liar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah.
So what's that got to do with Victoria P, though?
I don't know. They're both Victorias. They're both... Nothing really. It's the same thing we just said that I said like a little bit ago, but like instinct brought him to cut her, but it should have just been him observing her, like everything that she started and all the bad things that she did. I like how the breakup was all about her ego and not about actually how she liked him. I felt like she wanted to say all these horrible things to him, but stopped herself because she was on TV. So if we can go through her, what she said in response to him cutting her, and then count the number of things she said that were like, you know, when you break up with someone, you really shouldn't say, or when someone breaks up with you, you really shouldn't say all these horrible things, because that's your ego talking, not necessarily anything that you really mean. So I just think it's so funny. So we're gonna... it shows me who she is.
So we're not counting the word like, we're counting ego related statements.
Kind of. And also when she stops herself short of saying something really horrible. So I'll, yeah. Okay, so here it goes.
No, I don't want you to be concerned about my feelings because...
But Victoria, I... Because what? She doesn't finish the sentence.
Yeah. Because maybe. I'm okay. Like...
And I hope you are. But
I am.
I am so concerned.
I'm concerned for you because I feel that...
Two.
You are... I'm worried for you, and I hope that you're making the right decisions, but,
2.5.
Because this is the last conversation that we're going to have.
I understand.
This is not love, and that really sucks.
3.
This is not love, and that really sucks?
You don't apologize to me, like, I feel.
Don't. That's...
4.
Wait, hold on. Pause it here. I'm confused. What is it we're counting again? Because these are sort of like half statements that she's saying.
I feel like she's wants to say something really shitty to him, but then she realizes there's cameras and she's on a nationally syndicated show and goes, boo, and like can't say these horrible things she wants to say to really punish him.
For what?
For breaking up with her.
Oh. Okay.
It's not like a, okay. Yeah, count this word. It's a think about what she's saying. So we're on 4.
I'll try.
Can I walk you out?
I don't need you to walk me out.
5.
Please. Victoria. Victoria. Hey, please, just look at me for 1 second.
I'm going to count that as 6.
I just want you to know how grateful I am that I was able to meet you. You're gonna make someone so happy one day. So happy.
I know.
Like a 7? Like, I
still don't really know what we're talking about, but it's funny.
Okay.
So I'm on Caitlin, board with this.
Are you here with me?
Yes, I know exactly. There's some of them that are really obvious to me, like the I am, when he was like, you're going to make somebody really happy. And she goes, I am. And you can tell that she wants to be like, I am. And it's not you. You're a piece of shit. I hate you.
There.
What did he do to her? I'm confused.
He just broke up with her.
Yeah.
So this is entirely because he's cutting her.
Okay. Every time he said something at all harsh to her, this whole time, 5 weeks, she has deflected and circled around and said, I thought I told you about my family life. Victoria P is really, to me, feels like one of these master manipulators. And right now, when she got cut, she didn't say, I can't believe this is happening. Oh my God. Like, I'm so shocked. Why is this happening? Why do you feel this way? It wasn't about the relationship. It was about her and how she feels and her ego. So it's proving to me how much of a horrible, manipulative, sociopathic kind of person she is. And she's shown it on TV. I mean, I don't think they're not cutting it right. But I do think, like, she's pretty bad. That's all. Craig, do you get it? Do you see it?
Go ahead, Gail.
Well, I was going to say, I noticed it first in that conversation from the clip we just played, when he's saying, like, he's starting to have the conversation where he's breaking up with her. And she's like, I don't know if you're making the right decisions. And I was like, oh, she's trying to, like, really... It seemed so desperate to me in that moment that she was really trying to pivot it around again to be like, oh, if I say the right combination of like, you're making a huge mistake because these women are bad for you, like he'll take it back, right? Like that he'll decide, actually, maybe he can see a future here instead of like, I mean, I feel like his reasons for cutting her were incredibly valid. Like he was basically like, I just don't see being with you forever. So like, that's it. You know, like if I can't, if that's not something I want, then that's just over. And she was kind of in this mode of like, she could convince him otherwise if only she like continues back into, you know, like we have such a deep connection, more than you have with these other women. I'm so vulnerable kind of thing.
We're looking at this skin deep, but the skin deepness is simply that she's overreacting to getting broken up with on a nationally televised dating show, wanting to go after him on a personal level, but stopping short because she knows she's on camera. And that shows her character to you, EZR.
Yeah, it's I feel like it's symbolic of who she is what she did.
Okay. Now, she's the nurse that her parents were drug addicts.
Her dad died.
Right.
No explanation. Her mom became a drug addict because of that.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then she also lied about Aliyah. Seems to spread poison around the house just to do it. And then kind of, like I said, hides her hand.
Okay.
Okay. She's gone. You know, a lot of these people that everything happened with are gone. So it's kind of like a hard thing to talk about. So Caitlin, co-host Caitlin, you said last week, this person versus this person. We're talking about both Victorias. Cut them all.
You did say that.
Yeah.
Cut them all.
This is so hard for me to understand because I think there are a lot of people who watch The Bachelor for the love story, and that is not me.
Right.
I want to see the drama. I want to see villains get punished. And if that means cut them, I guess that means cut them. But I want to cut them for revenge. So it's very hard for me to... Lexi. I did not like her at all. I thought I talked about her last week saying she spreads the poison, and then she was shown to be in Sydney's posse of mean girls, and it was totally true. And I wanted to cut her for revenge, but I wonder what she would have done if Sydney had been cut and she hadn't been.
Right.
It happened also with Kaylin and her posse on Colton's season. So I thought it was super, I like when, you know, someone gets left without their leader, like these lost, like mean girl souls. Like, where am I going to go now?
Well, I think like maybe, I mean, we didn't really know Jed was evil. I mean, we knew, but Hannah didn't know until after the season, right? Whereas I think Peter, he has a pretty good sense of these women, or at least there hasn't been much hiding of their character to Peter like there was with Jed with Hannah. Does that make sense?
Yeah, so, but we're talking about different kinds of villains here. There's like the old, like there's the final boss Jed, and then there's like the little mini boss.
I mean, don't you think we're being left here, Caitlin, with a fair amount of wackadoodle people, more so than past season?
Yeah, though it was. I feel like this week's episodes were really surprising in that some of the people who were the biggest villains were cut and almost out of nowhere. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
like the both Victoria P and Sydney being cut, I didn't see either of them coming. It was like Peter just went into the conversation with Victoria P and it was like, oh, wait, oh my God, he's dumping her. I didn't see any signs of that before that one conversation. And with Sydney, like, we never even got an explanation on camera of why he was deciding not to choose her when it seemed like he was so into her earlier in the week and all the weeks prior, right?
Yeah.
But those were people who I would be like, oh, those are probably two of the biggest villains, and they both like just got eliminated in last night's episode without like very much lead up to it.
Right. We still got Kelsey, though.
Oh, she's more of like, she just happens to produce drama. She doesn't, I don't think she means to. Like, it's not the same kind of. Yeah.
I wouldn't say, like, I don't think Kelsey's like a mean girl. I think she's just somebody who cries a lot and maybe should have some therapy, but she's not like a mean person. I don't think she's trying to be a villain at all.
Not including what you're saying, Craig, which is true, that like he hasn't lived real world consequences and that affects him a lot. But his instincts are pretty good for a young guy. And but his big problem is that he doesn't stand by his convictions. So, like, a woman will mow him down if they're manipulative enough and he's interested enough. So someone like Natasha, who's left, who kind of, you know, goes back to what you just said, I think he's keeping her on, not to prove the obvious. You know, there's obviously, like, he has to keep at least one woman of color going, or else people will say something. But I think it's to prove that he's smart and not consumed by the drama to her. It's a very strange, because Natasha's the one who will say, why were you there? You shouldn't have even given into that. Kelly will too, right? We talked about that. But Natasha seems to be very rough about it, and I like that. He knows who's smart, and he's keeping them on.
Yeah, weird. I feel like I was definitely watching this week. I was like, huh, you know, Natasha might make a good bachelorette because she is older and she's very, like, she knows her mind and has no problem saying what she's thinking.
Yeah, she is. What was the other? Oh, like, he cut, you know, he brought back Aliyah not thinking about the consequences of that. Not like anyone else who's lived life would say, look, everybody, I'm bringing Aliyah back. It might not be a popular decision, but I need you guys to give her, like, start over with her, please. Separately or with Aliyah present, it doesn't matter in that moment, but something. He just kind of threw her back in there. Okay, like, hope for the best.
Gave her the rose that was on the table.
Yeah, that's even worse. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then he let her go just as easily. It just seemed so, he's not good. Especially, I didn't think he was going to break up with Victoria P, because he hasn't been good at confrontations at all. Like, he's, you know, he hasn't done any of that.
Yeah, I guess we'll see. Maybe he'll bring back somebody next week.
It could happen. In the previews, this isn't a spoiler, he was, like, rolling in the hay with Kelsey. You see that, Caitlin?
I did, and I was like, I mean,
that's going to be itchy.
This is something I feel like I've heard on some of the other podcasts where they talk about how horny Peter is. But I'm like, right. This guy is, like, constantly grinding with the women, like, rolling around on the ground with them. His makeouts are, like, next level, you know?
Really?
Well, with that in mind, let's hit the fashion roundup.
This is the fashion roundup. Craig likes to talk about what people are wearing.
Yeah. Okay, speaking of what people are wearing, let's go back to my Kenna. You, Kenna. She wore I wrote soft pink dress. I couldn't think of a better word for it. It's soft, lightly colored.
Light.
Yeah. I imagine
you have to add a touching verb.
Yeah. Well, it had a texture to it too. It seemed like it was furry or something. Yeah. But I really, really liked that dress. I did. And she also wore a pantsuit pink outfit later. And two people were wearing pant-legged outfits at the same time. On the couch.
I don't think I noticed that. What were the pantsuits and what was the scene?
Okay, so my Kenna was wearing not the soft pink dress, but she had changed into that bright pink, hot pink outfit. It had, like, little furry flurry things on the shoulders, and it was pant legged. And then I think it was Natasha was wearing a black pant legged outfit.
Oh, okay. I really liked the hot pink dress that Kelsey was wearing during her, like, stomping in barefoot, emotionally unhinged scene. I actually thought that was a very cute look on her. And so she was wearing on the group date in the evening portion.
Oh, I must have missed that. So there's a lot of hot pink going on.
I'm trying to think if there are any other outfits that I noticed. I actually liked Kelly's outfit that she wore on her one-on-one date, the stripy high-waisted pants and little crop top.
Geez.
I thought that was cute.
No. I'm glad you brought this up. Now we have some conflict to talk about. Kelly was wearing not only a clown-looking pair of pants, right? But she had it hitched all the way up to, like, her ribs. And it was not flattering in the slightest.
Are you kidding me?
I feel like I'm crazy, but I thought it was flattering. I thought like her butt looked good in the pants.
Oh, no, no, no.
Yeah, no. I think that's what those pants are for, is to shape, is to make your like butt stand out. Right?
Well,
yeah,
as
and I feel like to have the high waist thing is to like try to make it hit at the skinniest part of your body. I think that's what you're like trying to do with that.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
I think this is a case of
fashion,
like women wearing outfits for other women. Because as a as a man who identifies as a heterosexual,
it's supposed to be an optical illusion, Craig. Like it's supposed to make you think she's skinnier and bigger butted than she is.
She's
supposed to be one of these like, psychological.
Okay. The date card at the date card. Who you know, we were the winner of their tweet of the night a few weeks ago. They brought up that Peter was wearing one of these thick leather bracelets.
No.
Did you notice that?
I didn't notice that.
I did not.
They posed the question, like, what is it with these leather bracelets? Because where do you get them? Why do you wear them? And I was like, that's actually a really good question, because you see them, like, if you go to a boutique men's store or something, right? Like a store down in the Arts District, they'll have these 6 inches wide leather bands.
But sometimes they have watches on them.
Sometimes they have watches on them. Yeah, I don't think this one did. It's like, what's the point? Is it supposed to say, like, oh, I'm into S&M? I like cows?
It's definitely an early 2000s, like, actual emo look, not what you're talking about.
Yeah. I don't know, man. That was really weird. Well, that's all I got for my fashion roundup.
I was too consumed with the drama. I did not notice anything anyone's wearing, except for Victoria F. had like a sparkly, very late 90s look.
And it was the same dress she wore to her senior prom.
You are obsessed with her.
No, I'm serious. Look at the picture of her senior prom. It is a glittery, silver, glittery dress.
She just graduated high school. Okay. She's left to keep it for a little longer.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. I have no idea.
No, Victoria F. is 26, which I remember because she brought it up in this Monday's episode. It was her birthday, and Peter said happy birthday, and then she was just like, oh, I'm 26. I'm so old now.
Yeah, right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Imagine being 26 again. Wow.
Yeah. I was trying to think if there's any other fashion. Well, I did notice what Victoria F. and Peter wore on her second one-on-one when they were wearing like the Chilean cowboy outfits for a bit.
Yeah, I wonder if she was pissed. She's like, I can't wear this.
Right.
I'm a through and through racist. I can't wear
exactly.
A poncho.
Yeah. This is ethnic clothing.
Yeah, that's why she broke down. She blamed it on. That's why I always wonder, like, racists do actually like ethnic food. I always wondered that my whole life. I'm like, I wonder if like racists like Chinese food. But they do. Yeah. Like, they don't care about anything. Racists will say, I'm not a racist. So
Well, that's why I think they eat it. So they're like, well, I'm not a racist because I like Americanized Chinese food.
I've been to Chile on a reality show. I'm not a racist. Right.
Although she didn't eat any of the food on their date. Did you see it was the after credits thing?
She said I would eat meat for him. Isn't that weird?
It is weird that she said she would eat meat one time only.
But she's a vegetarian. Why is that weird?
No, doesn't that speak to what you're saying, Craig? What if she said, like, I'm only going to put this shirt on because it'll get me $50. I don't really care. Mm-hmm. Like, it sounds like she's willing to compromise anything for some weird reason.
Good point.
I'm not defending her. I just thought that was weird to say if you're a through and through vegetarian and you're looking at, like, this is a lot of meat. Like, it was a lot of meat for a meat eater. Mm-hmm. And she was like, oh, I'll try if he wants me to.
Well, that's the fashion roundup, which led to the food roundup. Any other roundups? We're way long, so if we cut it off here, I don't think anyone will mind.
My only new bachelor trope, which we should make as two-on-ones have gone away, new bachelor tropes have come in. So it's not like we're losing the tropiness. Don't worry. The new one is you have to talk to an old couple in a foreign country.
Well, that's been pointing that out for a couple of years now. That's
a couple of years, but not 10 years, 15 years. That was not a 2-on-1.
Well, you one of your classic Bachelor Masters segments, EZR, was when you went on about how they present other cultures and how it's always like this, you know, they pick two people out of the crowd and don't even give them a Chiron. They gave them a Chiron this time, I think. But normally they don't.
They didn't give the street performers one.
Right, they didn't give the street performers. Right.
I mean, they're still street performers. That one really bothers me. When they have to dance or do something that gets them in the middle of attention with street performers.
Yeah.
One of my biggest nightmares as a kid was getting married in front of people. Like, no joke. That was a nightmare I had. I had two nightmares. No, three. I had The Exorcist, like the girl from The Exorcist.
Okay.
An elephant stampede and me hiding in like a tube and getting married.
And, well, you've mentioned that, you don't like the idea of getting married in front of people.
It really scares me. Like, I'm sure there's someone out there also that has this fear. Like, it couldn't have just been me.
So, EZR's...
I would never do it.
So, in the order of worst to best, it's Band-Aids.
Oh, that's weddings, just gross. That's different.
Elephants. Exorcist. Is The Exorcist Linda the Blair. One where the head turns all the way around?
What the? Yes, Craig. Okay. It's classic. Oh, my God.
I've been to the staircase in Georgetown.
Yeah. Well, when I, like, turned 30, I think I was turning 30, I said, you know what? I'm finally going to watch The Exorcist from beginning to end because I'm going to die someday. I had my midlife crisis at 30, and I was like, I have to watch it. I can't just die without having seen it all the way through with my eyes open. I'd seen it a lot. I've seen it up to, like, the 40-minute mark a lot. So,
Caitlin, what's your... Go ahead. Easier, sorry.
Oh, no, just that this can't be weird. Like, this is normal to be scared of... First off, you're the center of attention, which bothers me in a capacity that has to do with, like, intimate things. And then you go up there and you say something that's... I don't want any part. Like, that really is... I don't understand how that's normal, I guess. That's my problem. Go ahead, Caitlin. What's your?
I'm trying to think of one that's. I don't watch scary movies in general, just because I can't handle any sort of like gore in the movie. I'm just like, nope, can't look at it, can't see it. But I feel like that's like a very normal one. I'm scared of heights, but I actually like. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you like.
I find them scary, but I like to be around them also.
Like a roller coaster.
Yeah, like I love going on roller coasters. Like I climbed a mountain in Peru a few years back that didn't have like any guardrails on it, and I was like, oh, I might die, but this is kind of fun, you know.
So they're gonna go to Lima, Peru. Were they in Lima, Peru, or they're gonna go to Lima, Peru?
They're gonna go there. I'm so excited.
Great. Yeah, they're so you can give us some insider info on Peru.
Oh yeah, I was gonna give you guys insider info on the place they were at Costa Rica. I stayed down the street from that hotel a few years back. So I would like been to that waterfall where they did the Cosmo photo shoot and stuff.
No kidding.
Yeah, I was like, this is weird, but it's like a very beautiful part of Costa Rica. It's like the Arenal like volcano area.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Wow.
I spent a long time in Costa Rica because I was researching, and I actually did see a puma. So when he started telling that story, it was at night and I didn't know what I had seen until someone showed me the video. And I was like, oh my God, because I was walking from one station to another at night. So when he started telling that story, I'm like, oh, you know, that's possible.
He tricked you.
Yeah. And then he thought he was so funny. And I'm like, puma could have mauled me.
Yeah.
You know, so
he was such a goober telling that story. Like, I was just like, oh, this isn't, you just hit your head on a golf cart. It had nothing to do with the poop. Well, yeah, and that was, like, pretty early into that trip, too, because, I was really interested, Easier, in where you were living when you were researching there, because part of the reason why I visited Costa Rica is one of my closest friends was living in the capital for a few years. She was working for this, like, nonprofit organization there, and then later she moved up to D.C. She worked for the Costa Rican embassy for a while, too. But That's why I ended up there.
I'd have to look at my CV because I was like, what is this place? Because it was a very long indigenous name, but it was a reserve to study the rainforest. But I was studying a specific ant that's called the bullet ant that basically stings you and you're paralyzed. Not paralyzed, but it hurts for 24 hours.
Oh,
and,
wow.
Bullet ants they're actually part of like a Costa Rican indigenous tradition where you purposefully get stung by them at like an age like 13, and so the poison was basically what we were extracting from the ants. So catching them was very fun. Like I was like I wanted to do that. I picked this ant.
And you got stung.
No, I didn't. No, I'm good about that. Yeah, but you know, everyone was scared to do that. I'm like, I don't care, I'll do it. That sounds fun.
But you didn't.
No, I caught the ants. I just didn't get stung by them. Oh. I didn't do the. I'm not gonna do a rite of passage. I think that's. I think that's, you know, rude or whatever.
I see.
Gotcha. Disrespectful.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'll look it up. Yeah. So that's our Costa Rican stories.
I think we gave the 5 hours of show, which is 3.5 hours of actual content on without commercials, a good treatment, don't you think?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was initially upset that we were going to have to watch so much of The Bachelor this week, but they got me in the end. I enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm. Funny how that works. all right. Well, follow us on social media at Bachelor Masters. Shoot us a review on the Apple Podcast app, and we will see you next week.
Bye.